Welcome to Cloud Nine, a brand new podcast mini-series from Netmums, brought to you by Aldi Mamiya. This is the podcast for those early hours when you're feeding, rocking, or just trying to make it through another long night, and it can feel like you're the only one awake. Cloud Nine is here to remind you that you're not alone. I'm Louise Burke, the editorial director of Netmums. On each special episode, we'll be talking to a well-known mum about the highs, lows, and everything in between of new motherhood. Because we all know that while parenting can be beautiful, it can also be really tough. And that's okay, it's normal. Today we're joined by someone many of you will know and love, and someone who has lots of parenting stories to share, Olivia Bowen. Olivia first won our hearts on Love Island, and since then she's become one of the UK's most down-to-earth and relatable mums. Most recently sharing her journey with husband Alex and their son Abel on their ITV1 show, Olivia and Alex Parenthood. This summer, Olivia and Alex welcomed their second child, a beautiful baby girl named Sienna. But Olivia's birth experience was anything but straightforward. She's joining us today to share her story, the fear, the recovery, and also the joy that's come from it all. Before we get started, I should mention this chat comes with a content warning as we discuss baby loss, birth trauma, and postnatal depression, just in case these topics are challenging for you. Right, let's get started. Firstly, Olivia, congratulations on your little baby Sienna, who is coming up to 3 months now. Is that right?
Yes, yeah, 3 months old now.
Still very tiny. And where is she this morning, did you say?
She is with my husband, Alex. She's actually in the kitchen. You'll probably hear her cry at some point, but no, she's with him. She's really chill, actually. I don't know whether it's that second baby energy or I'm not sure. She's just very, very relaxed, which is lovely.
And how's Abel? Where's he?
He's good. He is at nursery today. So, the little terror is out. Yeah. You would definitely hear him. You might hear Sienna. You definitely hear him.
The coast is clear this morning. It's all about Sienna. And you just said then that sort of second baby syndrome. So it's slightly different this time. She feels more chilled, or are you more chilled? Which one is it, or both?
You can't say really, can you? Because I know we sort of all compare and, you know, if it's a chilled baby or do they sleep or do they take a bottle? But I just think it's just up to the baby. I think I have been different. I've been very relaxed this time around. With Abel, I definitely had postpartum anxiety and I suffered with postpartum depression as well. So I really struggled after Abel. So some part of me think that that correlates, but also, you just don't know. But this time around, I've been really relaxed. I don't track her naps. I don't track her feeds. I let her just get on with it. She kind of has had to just slot in, because where Abel is go, 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 she's having to just tag along. So I don't know whether that is now her personality, because she's just had to fit in a bit more than Abel would have done.
Yeah, I'm sure. It's still quite early days though as well, isn't it? She's still so tiny. Yeah. So do you like throw her into a sling when you're heading off for nursery collection and things like that? Is it you a sling person or you?
I love a sling. I have been wearing one pretty much every day since the day she was born.
Oh, sweet. And that's, you get the closeness from that, right, as well?
Yeah, I love it. Like, I think, again, with Abel, I was quite guilty of trying to force nap times in a pram, and you know it is hard because these days, like when a working mum, you have to have your hands free and you have to be able to do things. So I did have to put him down, whereas this time I am being a bit more laid back with it because I'm working from home a bit more, so I get to cuddle her more. But I'm really enjoying that because I do feel like I didn't get that with Abel. So it feels like, as well, because she's our last baby, I'm just trying to soak it all in.
That's lovely. You've been really open about all your pregnancy experiences and your birth experiences. And I think that's something that's not only brave, but also really lovely for other people, other mums and mums to be, because they really get to hear those stories and those experiences and not feel alone. But how, I mean, you look amazing today. How are you coping now with two little ones around the house? How are those nights? Because it looks like you look so well slept for a new mum, I have to say.
So honestly, I can't lie to you, and I would hate to hear this, when I had Abel, he didn't sleep. Like, I can, let me just say that first. He was like maximum 2 hours little moments a night.
Oh,
so every
God.
2 hours. Yeah, yeah, he fed a lot. Like, he was such a hungry baby. So during the nights, he would be up every 2 hours to feed. Last night, Sienna slept through.
Oh my God.
I know. I was in.
That's amazing. At 3 months.
I know. Yeah. Complete shock. But again, this is where it's like, is it circumstantial or is it just the baby? And I really do feel like sometimes you get lucky and sometimes you don't. And there's no really like which way. I haven't tried to do that. I've just ended up lucky this time that she slept. And the thing is, we all know that babies have their seasons and they have regressions, and I think you just got to take it where you can. But that is probably the reason I look a bit more alive today.
Fresh, you know. Yeah. You look great.
Yeah, so she literally did like 8:30 till 5 and then went back to sleep till 6:30, which was crazy. I know, I feel very lucky.
I always remember those moments when they slept through and you'd wake up and you'd be like, hang on, what time is it? Is it, and you'd have to look at the clock about 5 times to believe that they've actually slept through.
I did wake up at 1 because our boy Abel, he still comes into our bed. So he, obviously, I woke up then. So he came in and went to the toilet, then got in our bed, then was like, cuddle me, mummy. Then I went back to sleep, then she woke up. So it still is, you know, it's still chaotic, definitely with 2. Like, it's not straightforward, is it?
No. How is it with Abel and the new baby Sienna now? Is he loving having this little baby sister around the house, or is he a bit jealous? Or
it's been quite up and down. He is such a loving boy. Like, he has been amazing with her in the fact that he's so interested in her and wants to cuddle and kiss her and touch her face all the time. Constantly wants to be like this, and he's been really, really sweet. But obviously, there is some jealousy there, and we've noticed, like, at the start, the first 2 weeks, he was really chill, really into her, loved her, and then it kind of changed a little bit in that 2 month mark, and he started just changing his behaviour a little bit. He was, I think, fighting for attention a bit more, a lot louder, but he's been golden, really. Like, you know, you forget they're so little, and we've had to deal with this huge change that has caused a load of emotions in us, let alone how he feels at 3.5, trying to deal with all of that.
Yeah, because he'd just turned 3, hadn't he, pretty much, before Sienna came along.
Yeah.
And did you, was there anything, I remember, like, when we brought our second baby, I had twins with second babies home, and then my daughter was 2.5, so similar to Abel, but we gave her a gift from the new babies to sort of give her a bit of attention, feel loved and not feel left out in those sort of early days, especially when you're bringing baby home for the first time.
Yeah.
So take us back to those early weeks when you brought Sienna home, because you've spoken openly about the birth, which sounded so traumatic. I'm so sorry to hear that. And you went through, you went through a really tough time. How was it when you, just to recap, just for listeners that maybe aren't aware, but you lost a lot of blood during your birth to Sienna, didn't you? You planned a home birth.
Yeah.
But it happened in the hospital, and it was, 3 litres of blood, which sounds horrific. you poor thing. How was it coming home from hospital after the recovery, and then also the emotions and the hormones, bringing Sienna home to the family home? How was all that?
I mean, like you said, it was a lot. It was quite a traumatic birth, but in no way what happened to me in hospital was related to a home birth, because I'd hate to make anyone fearful if they were like looking to go down that route. And actually, a lot of what I learned from preparing for a home birth with I had 2 doulas really helped me make decisions and keep myself safe. We made the decision to go into hospital because I'd had a bladder prolapse, which meant that like birth was just excruciating and nearly impossible to do. So we went in, and then I ended up having the C-section. And again, there are risks involved. It's surgery, of course there is. I ended up losing a lot of blood. I had 2 blood transfusions. It's feeling a little worse for wear, as you can imagine. And then having a newborn to look after. You just think it's crazy. Mm. Like, any other person that goes through surgery would be looked after, taken home, like, waiting on hand and foot. But you get given this little human that relies on you. And you just think, what?
Yeah. Extra. Yeah.
But she, I feel like, was in that bubble. I think because of everything we went through, losing one of the twins, I think I just felt so, and because of the blood loss and how close I felt, I think I just felt so lucky to be coming home and just felt so grateful to have her in my arms finally after everything. So even though, yeah, I looked like I'd been dragged through a hedge and felt like it too, it was still so lovely. And I was in the hospital for two nights. I probably should have stayed an extra day.
Oh, is that all?
Yeah.
Okay.
But
wow.
It was hard because obviously Abel was at home. Like, as you know, it's really difficult, isn't it, leaving one? So I just really wanted to go home. He came and visited me in hospital and he brought little cakes that he made.
Oh, bless him.
He was so sweet. He had just woken up from a nap though. So when he came in, he was like really grumpy. So, you know, you like, you imagine you get this beautiful moment when one child meets the next.
Come and see me. Yeah.
It was not like that. It was not that beautiful moment you see on Instagram. It was a bit more, not quite that. But he was just, I think, really overwhelmed, but he absolutely loved her and he was stroking her face. And yeah, when we brought her home, it's just, when you're recovering from a C-section, it's just so difficult because you can't move. Yeah. Going up and down
it's
the stairs.
It's 6 weeks, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right. Six weeks, you've pretty much got your feet.
Pretty much. I'd say that first week was so hard physically, being able to do anything. Mm. Like, I couldn't even lift our pot of sugar to make a tea, and going up and down the stairs, they were like, you can only go up and down the stairs once a day. I was like, how is that even possible? Like, it seems like the things that they tell you to do, it's not physically possible when you've got a baby and then another toddler at home. So yeah, it's a mean feat coming home. But again, like I said, it was just, I felt so grateful.
Yeah, just to recap again, you mentioned the losing a twin, just for people that maybe aren't aware of it. You experienced vanishing twin syndrome, didn't you, early on in your second pregnancy with Sienna. Do you want to maybe just to explain that?
Yeah.
Explain that experience.
So we found out quite early. I think I was not even 4 weeks pregnant. So then I can be quite an anxious person. So I really wanted to go for a scan just to check it was even in there. Like, I just didn't believe that I was pregnant. So, we went to check and we found out then that we were having twins. You could see quite clearly. I think we was 5 weeks, nearly 6 weeks. So very early still. And she said, the sonographer said one of them was a little bit smaller, but not really anything to worry about because usually one is slightly smaller. So then, yeah, we came home thinking we were having twins and obviously biggest shock of our lives, but it was amazing. And we started to get our head around it. We were thinking about cars and what rooms they're going to have, where we're going to put them, like, what's it going to be like. Mm. So we started like really visualising it. And then we went back, I think at 8 weeks, 9 weeks, and one of them didn't have a heartbeat anymore. But I'd had no signs, symptoms, and it's called vanishing twin syndrome because quite literally they just end up vanishing. You don't bleed, you don't like essentially miscarry visually. So over the next, I think it took until about 16 weeks for that baby to basically shrink and then reabsorb into my body. So I had no...
It's incredible.
Yeah, it boggles your mind. And obviously at the time it was just horrendous and it was a really hard thing to go through.
Yeah, I can imagine.
But now I think having Sienna here and feeling lucky that we have her, I can speak about it in quite a different way. And it's a weird feeling because you don't feel like you've lost a baby because they've reabsorbed into your body. It's a really hard thing to get your head around. I feel for anyone that loses a baby in any which way. So nothing makes it easier, you know?
No. What are your coping tools in those situations? Like you said, during the time in those weeks when you realised that you were losing the twin, what were your ways to cope? Obviously, you had Alex around and obviously you had Abel at home. But how do you get through those moments?
I'm quite an oversharer. You might be able to tell that.
I did watch an ITV documentary last night.
Yeah, well, so I naturally do talk a lot and I share a lot. Yeah. And that's probably one of the best things about me being who I am. I can very openly speak about things and it's helped me. I never used to be like that though. It's not always been that way. And I think that's probably the one thing that did get us through. I know, you know, so many people that keep it to themselves, they're having a baby until 12 weeks because that's what we're told, like that's the safe mark. But essentially I don't really agree with that personally, because I need people around me, especially in those early days where things don't feel real and they don't feel secure. I need my friends and my family. So I'd say the one thing that got me through it was all my family knowing and my friends knowing and checking in on me and being there for me and being able to talk about it. And obviously having Alex going through the same thing. I just do feel like you just have to reach out. I don't know, it seems so hard sometimes to talk about things like that, but it really does help.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And you've got your mum as well around, haven't you? Yeah. Who helps, who's really involved as well.
We've got so much family. We're very, very lucky in that way that our family is so heavily involved.
Yeah. So so you mentioned feeling so grateful to have Sienna now as part of the family. What are those sort of cloud nine moments as a mum with Sienna now? Are those little sort of, I don't know, those golden nugget moments? I mean, for me, I've just got the most ridiculous amount of photos of baby sleeping on my camera.
I know. I mean, they're so cute. The little chubbiness.
Any moments that you're sharing with Sienna where you feel like, you mentioned before feeling hugely grateful and appreciative to have her and have your family now.
I think just that with those little smiles when they come, like you kind of wait those first few weeks. You don't get anything back, do you? They just lay there asleep. But when they start seeing you and the way that they look at you, like she just stares at you like in wonder. It's crazy. And you just feel it's just something you can never explain, is it? But those little smiles and she's already very chatty, so I can already see her school report being that she talks too much. She's making all sorts of noises.
Who does she take after?
I don't know. Not me.
I always remember like the spiky fingers as well. Yeah. How they sort of come out of the little Moses basket with the little spiky fingers reaching for your face. It's very, very cute. So you are. Are you still breastfeeding now? Because
she's luckily just was fine. She had a tongue tie in hospital, they mentioned, but I never ended up having any issues, and I don't know whether I kind of just soldiered on. Like the pain from the C-section was nothing, you know.
Your pain barrier must be like so high now.
So she put on weight, so she was fine, but I'm still exclusively breastfeeding because she will not take a bottle. So if you have any advice for me.
Oh, really?
I don't know whether it is slightly that she has still got tongue tie or she's just like, no, give me a boob, mum, or I don't know.
I did have that with one of mine, and not that I'm a paediatric expert, but what I did try and do was half a bottle with half breast milk and half formula.
Oh, really?
Which you can do. Yeah, and then that helped take the bottle as well.
I haven't tried that.
Otherwise, I know people who go through like a gazillion different teats to try and like experiment, but then the flip side of that is that some people say it confuses the baby. I don't know, there's so many myths around, aren't there? That's actually a good question. How do you navigate all the sort of baby myths and parenting myths? Because there is just so many out there, and rules and guidelines change quite a bit. Yeah. Like with my first baby, I never had her sleeping on her front, but the second time round, my baby's always slept on their front. Is there anything that you sort of struggle with?
I think like you said, it's just the copious amounts of information that you get, and especially where I work on social media, I'm obviously on Instagram a lot, and I see a lot. I think my biggest tip would just to be, obviously we're on social media a lot, so curate your feed and try not to follow too much noise. I think there's some really great pages to follow, like the Lullaby Trust, which has all sleep information on. Mm-hmm. So factual Instagram pages are great. I got so bogged down by sleep with Abel, and that's because I started just searching the internet, how do I make my baby sleep, what do I do? Then I needed to get like someone to help me, and it just never worked. And I got so, I think it was part of the reason I was so anxious and felt so down, because I felt like I was failing because he wasn't sleeping.
Well, it stresses you out, doesn't it? Because it's like, what am I doing wrong? Why is this not happening?
Exactly. And I mean, sleep deprivation is like, it's horrendous. Mm. So that doesn't help when you're feeling so misguided. But I definitely think just trust your instincts. And it sounds so simple, but it's really hard to do when you have got the outside noise. But I can tell you from experience, the second time round, just listening to my baby and learning her rather than everyone else's, it's been the biggest change.
So when you're, are you a bit of a, I know you said you live a lot of your life on social, obviously I know this, but do you yourself scroll a lot through social?
I don't necessarily scroll Instagram a lot. I'm just working a lot on my phone. So a lot of the time it's like editing, videoing. So I'm on my phone a lot. I don't particularly scroll Instagram as much as I used to. But again, that's something that I've had to really rein in for myself. I'm more shopping.
Yeah,
I'm more that problem.
What, baby shopping or for yourself?
Oh God, baby clothes.
Or the house.
Obviously, having a boy the first time round, he had really cute clothes. But oh my God, I've absolutely loved shopping for her clothes already. She's already got about 6 pairs of shoes. She can't even walk.
I'd love to see her wardrobe. And then when it comes to yourself, how are you finding time to sort of relax yourself, or finding time for yourself? Because I know, obviously, having two young kids, life is crazy busy. They're very dependent on you. Quite often, those young kids want their mum a lot. And I know from watching Parenthood, which is a brilliant, brilliant series, in so many ways, from the laughter to the oh my gods and everything, all in between. Because I know Alex loves his gym and he goes out there and he's off training and that's his thing.
Yeah.
And I know sometimes that's not particularly cool with you when it's not great timing with the baby and the babies, and I totally get that. How do you get your time?
Yeah, on Parenthood, Alex was training for a bodybuilding competition, so it was all very structured, whereas that's over now, thank God.
Right.
And he's back to just doing like normal gym, which can be any time of day, and he can kind of eat way more food, so he's way happier. So that's definitely relieved some stress. It's difficult at the moment, I can't lie, to put myself first. I don't think I really have. We're still, you know, in the very early days, and because she won't take a bottle and she's breastfeeding, I can't really leave. So it's, I can
dependent.
Only leave for like a couple of hours at a time. With work, we've had to take her into London every time. She's had to stay over in London with us. Alex has to come with me with her so I can work. So it's been quite difficult. So even the thought of trying to take an hour to myself is quite hard. But in saying that, we have learned how to do it. Like, I'll feed her, then I'll quickly run out and go to see the horses or go to see my friends. But I'm like, I'm on a clock. So it is hard. I do feel still very controlled by the newborn stage in a way.
Yeah, because although you said it's a bit easier now with the second baby because you've done it before, there still is a routine, isn't there, involved in your days and the naps and the... and even for Abel, I imagine, is he still doing an afternoon nap as well?
No, he has dropped that.
He dropped that.
He was napping until he was 3, so it's only recently really dropped. He did have a really big nap the other day, but then bedtime was just completely screwed up.
Nightmare.
So, but he, as long as he has like outdoor time and really like a lot of physical activity, he's good. he just does need a lot of stimulation. He is a full on fun kid.
Yeah. Yeah. I used to feel quite conflicted about the afternoon nap because it used to be entrenched in the day, and it was always like, get out because you've got to get back for the nap.
Yeah. Horrible.
But then when you lose the nap, you're like, yes, this is so liberating. Yeah. We can do anything with our day. And then you're sort of like, oh, but then there's no downtime because they're always awake for the whole of the day.
That is so true. So, every parent goes through that with that last nap. Like, you do miss it a little bit. Yeah. But like you said, I think I actually prefer it because you've got wake up time and then you've got the whole day. I hated trying to get him to sleep in the day. And then if he wouldn't sleep, we'd be like, oh God, the day's ruined. He's going to be a dinosaur for the rest of the day. Yeah. Just be absolutely crazy, like moaning. And it's a hard one. I don't think you ever feel like you completely get it right.
No. And then in terms of your sort of postpartum recovery after Sienna, you mentioned before as well on social about hair loss, which is one of the main sort of symptoms after giving birth. How have you coped with those sort of changing, there's different, whether it be hair loss or body shape or moods or sleep patterns? How's that felt for you?
It's hard. I can't sit here and lie and say that I'm coping well with it, because I'm not. I think the first time round, having another baby, your body's already different, and I already struggled with that from Abel. But I think with one child, I got back into the gym quicker. I could go and do this and that and that. And he took a bottle, so I had the opportunity. But with Sienna, I've not really had that. And having two kids, it's now like, how am I meant to fit in like wellness time for me? And I don't think it's actual like body image that I struggle with. I think it's the fact that I'm not as fit and healthy and strong as I used to be. And that is quite difficult to come to terms with. When I went in the gym, when did I go? A couple of weeks ago. And I literally couldn't even lift the bar. I couldn't squat a bar. And like before, I was squatting so heavy, like my own body weight. And then when you drop that, if that's something that's important to you, it's really hard to accept, because you feel like, oh God, I've got to start all over again. But I think it's just trying to give yourself grace. And I keep reminding myself that this isn't forever. It's a season, and just trying.
Yes, it's 3 months since you gave birth, and you went through, your body's been through a lot with the two births. Yeah. So you've got to go easy on yourself.
Yeah.
But, like you say, it's not necessarily about the body image. Quite often it is. I know what you mean about that feeling strong. Like, I always feel better when I've just moved around, not necessarily even in the gym, but if I've gone out with the pushchair and done a good walk outside, it just makes you feel better. But it's finding those times when you can do that as well. And then how has it been in terms of, I know you're very good at talking openly about your experiences of early motherhood. We were talking about body image and exercise and feeling strong and how important that is. But there are times, as we all know, where it all just feels too much and you don't feel strong, and you have those moments where it's too overwhelming. Are you familiar with those moments?
God, yeah. I think I had no idea what 1 to 2 kids would be like, but 0 to 1 was really, really hard for me. I think because I was so used to having my own time, and we lived a very like wild life. Like, we were out and, you know, different countries. It was completely different. So I really struggled with that change, and I felt like I lost myself completely. But 1 to 2 I thought would be easier, and it has in a way, but I feel so overwhelmed and overstimulated and touched out pretty much the whole day. And the other day I did feel to myself, I was like, I need to just go and sit in the bathroom and hide, and I never had that before. But it was one of the moments I was like, I need to lock myself in the bathroom just for 5 minutes, just to try and like calm down. I think where if you're on your own and the baby's crying, and then maybe Abel's upset about something or angry about something, and you've got two voices, and then maybe Alex is trying to talk to me, like, the overstimulation is something I really struggle with. And yeah, all I can suggest is just go and sit in the bathroom for 5 minutes. Hide for 5 minutes.
Yeah. Do you, in those moments, do you break down in tears? How does it come out with you?
I think it's more like the irritated side of me comes out. And I can't lie, I've snapped at Abel and I've had to apologise. I've really had to learn as a person and a mum to say sorry when I do something wrong or I speak out of turn. And I think it's a really important thing to learn as a parent, that you can apologise to your child. And, you know, it's not embarrassing, it's not bad, but we all have lapses of judgment. And especially when we are having those overwhelmed moments, I can get really irritable. And I think when it really comes to head, I do just have this huge cry and then it does feel better. So there's no shame in getting upset or crying. You just got to make sure that someone's there to give you a big hug. And sometimes I'm guilty of being like, no, I can do this, I can do it all on my own. Like, and I don't want to hug. And then someone hugs me and I'm like,
and then it all comes out. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's nice. It's nice that you've got someone who can give you that 100%, big hug as well. Yeah. And when, if you were to take a step back and come face to face with Olivia pre-Sienna, what would you be saying to her?
Oh, God. What, saying to the version of me that had not had her yet? I guess just like everything will work out and be okay and you'll get there. I think I was so anxious because of losing one of the twins. It really like impeded on my pregnancy and just worrying about her for the rest of the pregnancy. So I would love to just go back and say, like, just try and enjoy that a little bit more and relax a bit. But you can't, can you?
No.
It's always hindsight.
No. I do find as well, like, life can be so full of cliches as well. Mm. Like, that, you know, when people used to say, enjoy this moment.
Yeah.
Enjoy it because it won't last forever. Mm. Or, oh, you're so, you know, you're so lucky, you're this, you're that. And you just, when you're having a bad day with Weetabix gloop, like, stuck to your front and things like that, and no sleep, it's just like, what? How did this happen?
100%. Sometimes when someone says, oh, enjoy that moment, it won't last forever. And I'm like, well, thank God. Thank God it won't last forever because I'm so tired.
Moving on. Yeah. And so I think every mum will relate to everything you're saying today, but also there's those moments that we see. So we've got the overwhelm and we've got the sort of cliches that add pressure on, but then there are those moments of pure joy that you've got these two little humans in your house and you created them, you made them, you're bringing them up. What are those mum wins, I call them, like during the day when you feel like you're winning? When do you feel like you have something to celebrate?
Do you know what? Yesterday, my mum was here and I've really struggled to take time for just me and Abel, but where Sienna's going longer between feeds, I can have some time with him. And I think the one thing that makes me the most proud of one of my children is their emotional intelligence and their kindness. And I went on a walk with my mum and Abel and we were doing a race up the hill and I was really slow. My mum overtook me. Abel was at the front and he turned around, he went, mummy, and I literally makes me want to cry. He put his hand out to me and went, I'll grab you, and he pulled me so that I would win. And I was like, oh my God, he literally makes me emotional because he is so kind-hearted. And just to see the way that he loves me and the way that he cares how I feel, I just feel like, oh my God, we've done that. Like, I do a lot wrong and, you know, we struggle as parents at times and I'm sure we'll continue to do things wrong. But when you see that kind of emotional intelligence and that kindness, I just think, oh yeah, we're doing all right here.
Yeah, and he'll be a brilliant big brother as well, I imagine.
It was so cute. He was like, come on, mummy, grab my hand. I was like, we're winning. I was like, I got so excited.
Oh, that is so sweet. It sounds like you're doing a brilliant job because parenting is bloody hard.
It's hard.
I think that's one thing I knew parenting was hard, but when I did it, I was like, gee, like, this is really, really hard. Difficult a job lot. To do, to get right, to feel like you're getting right as well. In your parenthood documentary, you and Alex sometimes have, you know, like we all do, a little bit of like differences of opinion, shall we say.
<Call it that>.
or there's a bit of the tiredness Olympics that go on. How do you navigate those in those very early days where both of you are tired, both of you a bit crotchety, both of you want to like, actually, I just want to drink my coffee whilst it's still hot moments. How do you get through those? Because I know, like you said, pre-kids, the two of you were such a, you know, such a twosome, busy and you enjoyed your parties and your holidays and had like so much fun together. How, and I know how important it is, Alex talks about it on the documentary a lot, about keeping the two of you and your connection alive. How do you manage that? Because it is really hard.
Lower expectations. First of all, like, you're not going to be doing what you used to. And I think at the start, you're trying so hard to kind of keep up with it and reach those, like, oh, we'll go out for dinner here. But it's more about, in a nice way, lower expectations. So being able to take an hour together or go out for lunch with the baby or maybe have a date night. But it has been changing that expectation of what we can do just at the start. I think it's important, and knowing again that it is a season, I think for me that really changes my mindset, knowing that, you know, this is just for now, it's not forever. When we had Abel, we really struggled communication wise it just really broke down, and we just never saw eye to eye, and I kind of shut off, which was then another reason why I slipped back into depression, had to go back to therapy. I just really struggled to communicate. I think, I don't know what that was. I think it was just trying to do it all. And I think learning from that has made me realise communication is absolutely everything. And if you're angry, you say why you're angry. Like, don't try hide it. And if he's tired, tell me you're tired. Or it's just made a big difference being able to talk things out, which sometimes you can't be bothered to do because you're so knackered. You're like, well, you should know that I'm tired, and you will have arguments, like I say.
I was gonna say as well, sometimes you don't talk it out because it's like, I don't want another argument, I'm too exhausted. I can't do this.
It's lowering the expectations, and not in a bad way, and just like trying to communicate. It's got to do your best and remember that you're in it as a team, you're not against each other, you both chose this.
I mean, this all sounds very well, like, all, it's all true, but it's just sometimes hard in the moment, I think.
To put it into practice is like, it's it's all, like you said, well and good saying it now, but trying to do that when you are tired or they have annoyed you, you know, that you're going to spat, you're going to argue.
You are. It's part of life. It's inevitable. It's human. You mentioned therapy then, and so you clearly benefited from having therapy after Abel. Was there anything that you learnt about yourself then, or learn ways that you could manage yourself better during those therapy times that you're willing to share to others?
Yeah, a lot of my struggle is, I think, I struggle quite a lot with social anxiety when I'm out publicly. I'm all right on Zoom, obviously, but when I'm at social situations where I don't know people, I found that really difficult, and that was like a stem of anxiety. And I brought that home with me, that energy, even if you're not in that situation, that energy will still come home with you. So I just found ways to deal with that. My therapist that I had, she did a lot of CBT, which is cognitive behavioral therapy, and that really helped me. And it was just ways of managing and working out what emotions were why. And I think one of the main things for me was just being able to talk it out. I think I wasn't in the position to talk to anyone but a therapist about what I thought. And it's a very privileged place to be able to go to a therapist. It's hard to get one in the NHS. It's difficult. There's a long waiting list. So I completely understand that. I'm coming from a very privileged place to have been able to go. But I think if you are able to, it is very different speaking to someone who is a professional and speaking to someone at home. And there is a difference. So never feel bad or embarrassed about seeking help that way, because it is a different kind of help. you just talk differently to someone that you trust knows. Do you know what I mean?
Mm, absolutely. I think what you're saying there as well about asking for help, we're not all good at asking for help. Mm. And whether that's help with bath time and bedtime, or whether that's help that's, like you say, that's more professional and a bit sort of outside of the family home that would benefit from you, it's quite hard sometimes even knowing what help you want, right? Because I remember a friend once saying to me, like, you know, you just got to ask for help. And I'm like, but I need so much help. Like, I don't know what I'd ask for help first. and sometimes it's like asking for help is like another thing to manage. And I think this sometimes can happen in the home with your partner. If they're like, what can I do to help? What can I do? And you just
this is like the list scenario.
Yeah.
Write me a list.
So I've got to write you a list and then manage you with that list. I might as well have done it myself.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, it is really hard to navigate. But what would be your word of advice to a new mum who felt like they were struggling and needed to ask for help? And like, whether that be professional help or just some support, really.
I think I always found it quite hard asking for help in person. So I would text, and that's a really silly like thing to give advice for. But honestly, like, I was embarrassed to ask for help. So if I saw someone, I'd be like, no, I'm fine. But after, just text them and ask for help, because it's a lot easier. Yeah. But I do think like it's hard. I could give any advice, and I think it's someone who's quite proud, which is what I'm like. I like to do everything myself. It's hard. And until I think there's a straw that breaks the camel's back, you won't ask. So don't be ashamed if it takes you a long time to ask, or don't be ashamed if you cry and break down. Like, sometimes that's what you need to then change the way that you are and be able to ask for help. But there's no shame in it. We can't do everything.
No, absolutely not. And do you feel like, with the fact that you've got such a high profile, especially on social media and TV, do you feel like you said you were proud. Do you feel pressure to be sort of nailing it all the time, the whole mum life?
Do you know what? It's funny, I don't, because I physically can't. So I think I'd be kidding myself if I... Like, we would never have made the show if I wasn't comfortable with being like, do you know what? I am not perfect, because it very well shows that we're not. And that's what we wanted, because the amount of response we've got and messages we've received about how people feel seen and feel understood, like, I can't tell you how happy that makes me. And if I have to show that I'm not perfect to get that, that's what I'll do. It doesn't bother me. But I can't say that I've always been like that. I definitely, in my 20s, I was trying to keep up this picture perfect image, and maybe I just got sick of it and knew I couldn't do it. So I think from having kids and being 30, I'm like, no, don't care. I am a mess. It's fine.
I think you've just got to let some balls drop, right? Sometimes, like, I mean, I admire new mums who step out looking absolutely gorgeous on a park walk with their baby in the buggy. But I remember just almost living in a parallel universe in a way, in the sense that I just had to keep this baby alive, and that was sort of my focus. I
think what you realise is, like, some things are really important to some, and other things aren't. So
you might
see a mum who's like super well dressed and groomed, and then her kid might be in, you know, the same t-shirt and trousers as he's worn the last 4 days. That doesn't matter. And then you might have someone that has a super well dressed child, but they've not brushed their hair. Like, I think it's just do you. Like, just do what you've got to do, and try not worry about anyone else. It's easier said than done, because we're, you know, we naturally compare ourselves, but that not everyone has everything going for them.
No, completely nailed. I just remember my trick when on my second babies, who were born more through the winter, I could keep them in their pajamas, because they would have their big suits on in their pram. So no one knew. I mean, they had a clean nappy and everything, but no one knew that they were still in their pajamas, like, till 12 o'clock.
You're preaching to the choir when they were in their
snowsuit.
Ava went out the other day, he had his pyjamas on, but put his football shirt and his football shorts over the top of it.
Over the top,
I'm going out in my pyjamas. I was like, fine. I'm not going to argue with a 3.5 year old.
You're like, we have left the house. We are winning. Yeah, this is amazing. Exactly. Oh, Olivia, it's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you. I love how honest you are about your experience with parenting.
It's been lovely chatting to you.
I think it's really good for other mums to hear that it's not all perfect and we're not all winning every single day. And I love it actually in your parenthood where you're like, today's just not a good day. Today's just not a good day. Today's not a good day.
When is the good day?
But it's just nothing goes to plan. I think that's the other thing as well. When you start adding more kids into the mix, you can never really work to a plan or stick to a plan for the day.
I think you just learn to live in the chaos. You just learn to get on with it, don't you?
An absolute pleasure to speak to you. Thanks ever so much for your time.
Thank you.
And then speak to you again sometime. Maybe when Sienna's a little bit older. get some update stories.
I don't think I'll have my hair brushed like this. It'll be more chaos.
I can't wait for Sienna to start discovering her wardrobe and all the different outfits.
Yeah. All the outfits. She'll be like, Mum, you're crazy.
That's brilliant. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Olivia, thank you so much for being here and speaking so openly and honestly. Your story will mean so much to so many parents who've been through something similar. And it's such a reminder that even after the darkest moments, there can still be light again. And to all our listeners, whether you're feeding, rocking, or just sitting in the quiet, please remember you're not alone. We're all in this together. You can find key takeaways from Olivia's chat at netmums.com, along with expert advice and support links for anyone who's experienced a difficult birth. And don't forget, you can also claim your free pack of Aldi Mamiya newborn nappies there too. Cloud9 is brought to you by Aldi Mamiya, the award-winning baby range loved by parents and proud to support yours. And please follow us on socials at NetMums.